God has been so powerfully moving amongst us, but we need to continue to realize that it's just a manifestation, really, of what God has already prophesied to us. And I want to continue sharing to prepare us for what God is going to be doing in the future, and so that we're ready. And it's really important that we're ready for what God's going to do. And God's going to be doing an awful lot more than he's doing right now, but we have to be ready for that. Just to recap, you know, God is doing things and fulfilling prophetic words. God does nothing without revealing it to prophets, so that prophets can speak it out into the atmosphere, and that enables God to move. So what God is doing here and what he's going to continue to do here is as a result of prophetic words being released. And of course, we're getting more and more and more prophetic words. Next time the prophetic team meet, we can have a lot of stuff to sort through, because God is speaking so much from people here, people outside the church, people are giving direction and release. Gifts are being released and ministries are being raised up. In everything that God's been doing here as a church, it has been to equip everybody to fulfill their gift and call, and to be equipped in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, being able to hear God, being able to encounter God for yourselves. It's not about one or two people doing it. And over the last week, during the Kingdom Explosion meetings, we have been releasing people to minister. We've been releasing words of knowledge and prophetic words and encouraging people to pray for healing, because it's about all everybody. It's not about one or two people. It's about releasing God. Now, God has called us prophetically to be a regional center, to equip people, and that's starting to take place, but we need to continue to press into that. You know, this move of God is preparation for what God's going to do. I encourage you, don't miss it. Don't just observe, get involved. Be hungry and thirsty. You know, get everything that you can now, because now is the time of preparation. Now is the time to be ready. Get everything you can now, because when stuff starts kicking off, it's like you may not have as much time to get everything. So I would encourage you to press in. It's a time to abandon yourselves to God, to abandon yourselves and give your whole selves to God. And we've been looking at that. Prophetic timetable. God is opening up prophetic books using scriptures that he's had double meanings for, first meanings and other fulfillments for, and he's opening those things up around revelations being released. There are going to be prophetic periods, and there's going to be an increase in light and an increase in darkness. And God is calling us to understand, like the sons of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what to do. God is going to reveal to us what to do, and we need to be listening. So we need to be ready to move and to act when God says. You know, God's going to do things really quickly. Suddenly, God's going to do things in these days, and we've got to be ready. We can't miss one of the suddenlies. We've got to be ready for it and allow God to move us through it and do it. That is a picture of some of the things we've gone through it, we're going through it. And right here and now, that's where we are. There's this call to intimacy. It's a call into a deeper relationship with God, operating in the dual realms of heaven and earth, being a habitation of God, knowing your identity as sons, because God wants to release sons. It's not enough just to know God. We need to know who we are as sons of God. And we've seen that God is going to be removing stumbling blocks from amongst us and in our midst, in our lives, but also amongst the whole church. He's going to be purifying and retrining the church, and judgment is going to start with God's household. And he wants his church back, and he's going to do that. We've actually looked at that previously. But he's calling us to holiness. Each of these layers is a greater call to holiness, to be purified and refined. And each one of those layers is getting closer to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to bring a harvest. And each one of those is bringing us closer to heaven on earth, because Jesus called us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to bring heaven to earth. We need to manifest it. You know, we've had early rain when the church was birthed, there's going to be latter rain. There's been former glory, there's going to be latter glory. And that is going to be greater and it's going to be increased. We've seen forerunners of that in moves of God around the world. Those were forerunners, those were glimpses, but those were just little in compared to what is going to be taking place. And we need to be ready for that. Looked last week about the need to sacrifice ourselves, to surrender and submit to God. Stop doing things our own way and allow God to do it His way, because His way is definitely better. You know, anyone who's done it their own way and ended up in a mess, because that's what happens when you do it in your own way, knows that God's way is better. It's not easier necessarily, but it's better, and the results of it are far way outweighing what we can do in our own strength. But we need to surrender and submit to God's way and allow Him to do it. Because it's like if we repent and turn from doing things our own way, it says in Acts 3:19, times of refreshing are going to come from the presence of the Lord. We really need to be able to hook into those times of refreshing. Because in all that we're doing and giving out, in all that we're doing in ministering, we have to have a connection to be refreshed. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We need to be connected to allow God to flow through us. That means to fill us and to overflow through us. It's no good going around with an empty tank. We need to constantly be filled. And sometimes it's a time just to get in the presence of God and receive and be refreshed and be restored and allow God to fill us and refresh us. So I encourage you to do that. Give Him everything. He wants everything. Heart, mind, He wants all of us. Not a bit of us. Everything. The more you give Him, the more He's got to be able to do with you. The more He can heal, the more He can restore, the more He can make us whole. Abandon ourselves. Be the living sacrifice. So that we can find our true identity as sons of God. See, we've come from a point of slavery to sin. And then we became servants of God. But God doesn't want servants. He wants sons. You know, and He takes us through a period of friendship. Because Jesus said, you know, I'm not calling you servants anymore. I'm calling you friends. And friends, He wants to reveal more. But actually, friendship is not enough either. He wants to reveal us as His sons. Sons and daughters. Because sons actually are those who inherit everything that the Father has. We can become joint heirs with Christ in all the things. And I want to encourage you, embrace your destiny. You know, God has a destiny for every single person, but we have to embrace it. You know, the enemy has tried to rob and kill and destroy our destiny. If he can destroy our destiny, he can destroy what God is going to do. And God is saying, embrace your destiny and be released into what God is calling you to be. Okay, now the whole purpose of this that God is doing in preparation is for a harvest. God wants none to perish. He wants to see salvation. He doesn't want people missing out on who they are and their destiny. He wants salvation. Jesus said in Luke 2, saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And what God is doing is raising up laborers for that harvest. Those who are going to be equipped and ready and prepared to bring in a harvest. It's a two-stage harvest. There's going to be a harvest of laborers, first of all. And those are going to be equipped to go out into the whole world and see an end-time harvest, which brings Jesus back. We're going to be involved. You know, I'm not saying how long that's going to be, but I believe that we're going to be involved in the first stage of that initially to prepare people to be harvesters, and we're going to look at that. Harvest of laborers and then an end-time harvest. And God is raising up a Joshua generation to equip that final generation. Now, we'll look at that one day in terms of the Joshua generation and what it means to be operating in a different spirit. To be operating with no compromise with the enemy. The harvest of laborers. The scriptures that God has been using to indicate that this is going to take place are from Genesis 41, and it's the story of Joseph. And there are many parallels between the story of Joseph and the story of Jesus, and maybe one day I'll go through that. But in Genesis 41:14, it says, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. Where was Joseph when Pharaoh called for him? In a dungeon. They hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he basically said, I have heard it said, and this is Pharaoh, about you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. The church is going to come out of the dungeon worldwide. It's coming out of the dungeon of irrelevancy, out of the dungeon of obscurity, and it's going to be placed right on the world scene, right in the midst of the things that God is going to be doing. Because God is preparing his people to be raised up. Therefore, yet, we need to be prepared. Shave and new clothes. You know, that's what God is doing right now. He's preparing it. And it's a supernatural people that are going to be given this place. People who can interpret dreams. People who can interpret visions. People who are going to be operating in the supernatural. It's a supernatural church that God requires. Not an institution. Not religion. But a relationship with the living God in which God is saying, come out of the dungeon. For some of you, that's individually. Come out of the dungeon. Come out of the pit. That the enemy has got had you in, and actually come out into the light where God is going to start to use you, because the church is going to come out into the light. Light is going to be shining, and God is going to restore it. Esther 4:14 says, "You have come to the kingdom or to royalty for a time such as this." This is our destiny as God's people, and He's calling us to know our identity as God's kingdom. As royalty, as royal sons of the king, because we're being called for a time such as this. It's like people from past generations longed to see what God was going to do. And we're in a place where we can be involved in it. It's like it is not something to be taken lightly what God is doing. God wants us to embrace who we are. You know, and in the story of Joseph and Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream, and in that dream, there was two sets of dreams, and literally what it was talking about, there was going to be a 7-year period of abundance, and then a 7-year period of total famine. And in that 7-year period of abundance, they needed to do something to be ready for the 7-year period of famine. And what God is saying in these days, that there is a period of abundance coming to the church in which a harvest is coming in of laborers. We need to be ready for that harvest, because that harvest is then going to be what is going to be used in that period of famine for the world, and God is going to use it. But we have to be ready. Genesis 41:38. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" God wants us to know that His Spirit is in us. That we are a habitation of God. And it's as a habitation of God's presence and power, of God's kingdom is within us, manifesting through us. That is what it's going to take around the world when this stuff starts to kick off. Verse 48. This is what Joseph did. He gathered all the food these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, and placed the food in cities. He placed in every city the food from its own surrounding fields. And if you read on this story, 20% of all the food that was harvested was actually brought into those cities of refuge. And prophetically, God is speaking around, and I've listened to lots of different prophetic voices around the world. God is actually saying there is going to be a harvest of 20%. That's the first stage harvest. 20% of the people around cities of refuge around the world are going to come in and be saved. Now that adds up to quite a lot of people, which is why we need a much bigger building and why we need the whole site around here for what God is going to be doing. And so will other people. I know that that is 1 billion people, give or take, around the world as a harvest of laborers. 1 billion people. Prophetically, I know people have seen this. They've been given that assurance that a billion people are going to be saved. Some of them think that's the end time harvest. For me, that's not the end time harvest. It's like, that is the beginning. That's the first stage of laborers. Because when we see the end time harvest comes, there's going to be a whole load more than a billion. Because we've got 6.5 or 6 billion people on the planet. You know, God is going to be populating heaven with more people than are going to be populating hell. People are going to have an opportunity of responding. And then, when the famine came, where did all the people of the earth go to get what they needed? Yeah, they came to Egypt. They came to Joseph. They came to receive grain because there was no grain in all the world. The whole world had famine. This is what is going to happen when we're ready, filled with laborers for the harvest field, cities of refuge, because in that, the food is illustrative of the laborers, the cities are illustrative of apostolic regional centers where God is going to use, and they're going to have their own sphere of operation and are going to be joined together in relationship to draw in that 20%. And I'm not just saying that's going to be one church, I'm going to be saying that's going to be God's people coming together in an area and to be in unity to be able to release this. So we need to be ready to be prepared for that harvest of harvesters to come in. That is what God is doing with us here, to be an equipping center, an apostolic resource, so that we can equip and make those people ready. Prodigals are going to return. One of the first signs of this, prodigals are going to start returning. There's going to be so many people who have walked away from God, who have been hurt, disappointed, disillusioned, let down, that angels are going to go out and draw them back. Because we're going to be working and co-working with angelic reapers. They're going to be reaping this harvest and we're going to be working with them. And they're going to draw people back. Some people who, you know, are family members and children and people who are prodigals, they're going to be received. And we've got to be ready for them. To train them and equip them in the supernatural. To do the works of Jesus. Nothing else is going to be enough to do what we need to do in this time. We have to be able to do the works of Jesus and greater. That means all the nature miracles, all the things like walking on water, stilling storms, being able to produce supernaturally resources, to multiply things, as well as miracles, signs and wonders, and all the things that Jesus did. All those things were illustrative for us to say, this is what my people needs to be doing. All of you. This is not for specialists. It's for every single individual Christian to be doing the works of Jesus. All we have to do is believe. That's what Jesus said. Those who believe will do the works that I did. Because, Matthew 24:37, as in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. And we've looked a little bit at the days of Noah and the things that went on then, and the sort of manifestation of evil that was on the earth, and the manifestation of demonic things in the heavens which were outworked on the earth. Those things are going to come back, and we have to be ready. And we're going to need to be ready with supernatural power. I had quite a number of visions, and I've seen the same vision a number of times also, about fire in the heavens. Fire in the second heavens, purifying the second heaven realm. You know, we have got connection with the third heaven realm. We can go and meet with God. We can meet him face to face. We're singing about it a lot, about meeting him, seeing him face to face, having encounters in that heavenly realm. Because we need to know what heaven's like if we're going to bring it here on earth. But when we go, we don't have to go through the second heaven realm to get to that realm in heaven. Open to us. We have open access because the door is open. But when we come back to this realm, we need to go back through that second heaven and we need to take authority there. Some of you even this week have had things about thrones and place seats of authority that you need to be standing in authority in, seated in heavenly realms. God is going to cause the second heaven realms to be purified. I've seen fire going up into the heavenly realms from this realm, lots of places. I've seen maps of places with fire going up and actually just engulfing the second heaven. purifying that realm, because that realm was never intended for the enemy. It was intended for God's people, for Adam and Eve, to occupy that and rule from there. So we need to reclaim everything that's been counterfeit and lost. New Age and occultists are operating in realms of the spirit that actually put most Christians to shame. They can do things supernaturally that most Christians would only dream about. Now, I totally accept they're doing it from the wrong source of power, but they're just counterfeiting what God calls these people to do. Therefore, we have to be a supernatural people. We need to demonstrate true spiritual authority. Light is going to triumph over darkness, but darkness is going to be seen. There's going to be a challenge, like in the olden times of the prophets of Baal. There's going to be calling down fire from heaven, where we challenge the demonic forces and the demonic realm, and we win. You need to know that. We win. We are, what he that is in us is greater than he that's operating in those realms and in the world. We win, but we're going to have to be ready to win. We're going to operate in authentic supernatural power. So there are going to be transportations and translations. There's going to be so much of what now is seen as a cult, and the church has said, oh, stay away from that stuff, because we've stayed away from it because of the nature of where it's coming. But we need to reclaim it. We need to get back what has been counterfeited and demonstrate to the world true spiritual power and authority. And we need to use the keys of the kingdom effectively. And God is going to teach us how to do that. I want to throw that in, because some of you are engaging some of these realms now. Some of you are engaging the courts of heaven. Some of you are engaging these thrones. But they have a system of authority that we have to deal with and we have to break down. And God is going to train us and he's going to equip us to do this, because we need to occupy those second heaven realms of authority to release that authority on earth, to release the gospel to go out and bring in a harvest. And God is going to equip us to do that. There is going to be a shaking. Hebrews 12:26. Verses I would encourage you to read and meditate on. It says, his voice shook the earth then. And he was talking about on the top of the mountain when God came down and met with Moses, and where thunder and lightning and smoke and fire were as the kingdom of God came down to meet with Moses. It says, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of things which can be shaken, as of created things. So those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable sacrifice with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, it says, you know, it's fearful to fall into the hands of the living God. It's like we have an opportunity to surrender to that fire and let him consume all the rubbish and all the stuff that's in our lives so that he can prepare us. But everything that's been man-made and created in this world, every system, all the things that has been created by man in humanism to rule over the world and to show forth man's power and what man can do, is going to be shaken in these days. Into such a degree that the whole thing is going to collapse. And we have to be ready. The religious systems are going to be shaken. Every religious system of the world will be shaken, and it will be shown up as false and counterfeit. It will have no answers for people in these days. It's going to be shaken to its very core. Education system, the financial system. We've seen what a little ripple in the financial system can do. You know, a whole load of people buying up debt. It shook the world. But that's nothing compared to what it's going to be like when these things actually not just are shaken, but totally collapse. The governmental systems, the media, arts, entertainment, business, the whole medical system. There is going to be coming, and I've seen this, and God has shown me it, and I know other people have seen it. There are going to be coming diseases that the medical things have no answer for. Some of them are actually man-made, created things that are actually going to be released into the world. we are going to have the answer. That's why we need to be equipped with healing power. Where are people going to go when the world system is in total famine and collapse? Where are they going to want to go? To a people who have the answers. To a people who are operating in genuine supernatural power, who can provide safety and security and provision, healing, miracles, because every one of those systems is going to actually be shaken to its core. Everything of materialism is going to be exposed. Materialism is looking to meet a spiritual need with a material thing. It's how the world system operates. It offers things to meet our needs. It will be exposed as a sham. All the counterfeits are going to be exposed for what they are, powerless to bring eternal salvation and change. So all man-made humanistic systems will be shaken. All the ologies and the isms and philosophies of man are going to fall. They are going to become meaningless when people have nothing and nowhere to go. When everything they've put their trust in is suddenly useless. Where are they going to go? They're going to be looking for a people who are ready. Every system that man trusts in and relies on will fail. All the cultural systems and our society as we know will crumble. Prophetically, the Word of God talks about it. I've seen it. Other people have seen it. That is why God is calling us to be prepared. And His people worldwide to start to be prepared for when this stuff starts to take place. That's why He's warning us. That's why He's saying now, deal with the stumbling blocks, deal with the idols, deal with the things. Allow God to start moving in us so that we're ready for this. This is what it will be like. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. The proud look of man will be abased and the loftiness of man will be humbled. Man's own strength is going to find it's humbled. It's got no answers. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, for the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. In other words, it will come to nothing. Against all the lofty mountains. Mountains are authorities, systems of authority. Against all the hills that are lifted up against the knowledge of truth. They're going to come down because their pride is in man. The devil in the Garden of Eden offered Eve something. You can know, he offered her, apart from God. And she took up that offer. And man ever since has been trying to do things apart from God, set up his own systems apart from God. And we've all done it. All we like sheep have gone astray. In our lives, we've all done things our own way, but the whole world system has been set up to give an alternative to God, but it's coming down. Verse 17, the pride of man will be humbled and the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, and the idols will completely vanish, and men will go into the caves of the rocks and into holes of the ground for the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to make the earth tremble. God is going to arise and make the earth tremble. Shake it to its very core. What's left? The kingdom which cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God which is within us. Luke 17, 21. The kingdom is within us. This is what's going to take place. Now it will come about, Isaiah 2, 2. In the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is the church, and the mountain is the kingdom authority which Jesus started. And I'll go into that another day. It will be established as the chief of mountains above all those hills and other authorities in the world. And it will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Everyone will stream to it. Because the church will have the answers that the world is looking for. Amen? You up for that? We need to be ready. Because these things are going to be shaken. At the moment, spirits are controlling those world systems. They need to be dethroned. And God is going to use his people to dethrone them. This is a word that's been given and given and given here as a church, but given around the world. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Jesus is coming to his church. His church is supposed to be the light to the world. Children of light. There is going to be a period of great light where harvest of harvesters is going to come in. But, verse 2, behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. When there's nothing else to go to, when we're shining in darkness, when the glory of God is manifested through his church, God's manifest presence, then people are going to start to come. And then a period of great darkness and shaking where we are to shine even brighter for that end time harvest. That is what God is calling us to. That is what he's preparing us for. We need to start shining. We need to start getting the glory of God in our lives. We need to start letting the glory of God out of our lives, around us, so that we manifest the presence of God in our daily lives, not just in meetings, but everywhere. That God's glory, that people will start coming up to us saying, what must I do to be saved? Because everything they've put their trust in has come to nothing. What must we do? It is time to choose. Who are we going to serve? A Joshua generation is being raised up to equip. Joshua said to the children of Israel in Joshua 24 verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served. It's time to get rid of the idols and start focusing on Jesus. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This church is saying we are going to serve the Lord. No matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, no matter how much we have to do, we're going to serve the Lord. And we want other people to be part of that. Because God is going to raise up churches around, ministries around that are going to be part of this move to equip this end time generation. But it's time to choose individually. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the idols of your past? Or are you going to surrender and start to serve the living God? Because he's calling us to an account. Who are we going to serve? That's the question today. I'm going to leave you with that question. I want you to seriously think about that question. Who are you serving? Are you serving yourself? Are you serving the enemy? Or are you serving God? Who are you going to serve? If we're going to serve God, God is going to pour out his light. He's going to pour out his spirit. He's going to equip you beyond your wildest dreams. It's like, honestly, some of the things which I've seen and some of the prophetic people have seen coming, it's like that shaking of the world system. It will be like nothing in history that's ever taken place before. And we have to be ready for it. So God is saying, are you ready? Are you ready to volunteer for the day of his power? Because he's looking for volunteers who will say, I'm ready to volunteer in the day of his power, because it's coming. Amen? Now, I'm just going to finish. I want to pray. I want to pray specifically just for God's presence to come and to refresh you. And for all that's been given out, I just believe God just wants to come and refresh you. So I want to encourage you, just stand in the presence of God. Just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll just come right now as we wait on you. You promise times of refreshing will come from your very presence. You are here, Lord God. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will supernaturally impart strength, courage, boldness, gifts, anointing to your people, Lord, for us to give it away freely. We choose to receive today, so freely we can give. Just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just, as we wait upon you now, as we wait upon you in our daily lives, you will fill us with your presence. That you will empower us and strengthen us. that your anointing would be upon us to do the works that Jesus did, but to do them the way Jesus did them, through relationship, seeing what the Father's doing. So I just pray, open up the eyes of our heart, Lord God, that that spirit of wisdom and that revelation and the knowledge of you would come upon us. You would continue to strengthen us, that we would draw no strength from ourselves, that you would fill us with your presence and with your power. Just go deep in our spirit, Lord God. Let the river which is flowing from the throne of God just fill us and flow from us as rivers of living water. We would dip into that fountain of life and receive everything that we need, every resource from your very presence, as we meet you face to face, as we look upon you. I believe God is looking down from heaven over each of you right now. He's smiling. His countenance is lifted upon you because he loves you. And the reign of his love, he wants us to experience it. He wants us to experience the wind of his spirit. He wants us to be refreshed, continually refreshed. Continually refreshed. To be continually refreshed, we need to be continually giving time to intimacy with God in our personal lives. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you will draw us and woo us and romance us into that place of intimacy where we see you face to face, where we meet with you, where we are restored, filled daily with your presence and power. Father, we just bless you and we thank you. You're such a good God. In Jesus' name. Amen.